Thanks for tuning in to The Rewind, where we dig back in our vault of previous shows. I'm your host, Alan Stein. On today's Rewind episode of the Pure Sweat Basketball Show...
I've coined this phrase that you need to excel at the role that you have while working towards the role that you want.
Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym.
Let's eliminate the will to win and think about the will to prepare to win.
That's how winning is done.
It's about being a great teammate. It's about being accountable to one another. It's about being tough. It's about doing the right things for each other, but it's about doing it every day.
Hi, this is Jay Billis of ESPN. You're listening to the Pure Sweat Basketball Show. I'm sweating already.
Thanks for tuning into the show that takes a deep dive into all things basketball. I'm your host, Alan Stein. In today's episode, I catch up with Drew Hanlon to talk about the ways for players to star in their role. Drew, one of the big buzzwords in all of basketball, regardless of what age or level we're talking about, is your role. That every player on the team has a specific role. And, you know, some guys' roles to be the primary scorer, some guys are to be defenders, some guys are to come off the bench. Who should determine a player's role, and how should that be communicated both to the player and to the rest of the team?
First off, when determining every player's role, it's important to keep in mind that the team's success should be priority number one. I think that falls short in the conversation a lot of times when people talk about who should define the role. Everything else should come second. The team should be number one. Secondly, I think that ego must be removed from the equation from both the player and the coach. I think too many times the coaches think this is my team. The player needs to remove their ego. They need to get rid of their individual agenda and kind of follow my plan. I think that both the player and the coach need to remove their ego and, again, look at what's best for the team. Coaches can't have favorites. Players can't have personal agendas. Next thing, it should be all about communication and transparency. I think those two things are musts. I think too many times those things are what causes friction in the locker room and friction between players and coaches, because coaches maybe say something and kind of expect players to understand their role, but maybe the players have been listening to their parents or AAU coaches or trainers, their girlfriends or friends, etc. And so a lot of times they just end up bashing each other without communicating and there's no transparency. So for me, that should be over top of everything. The next thing, when it comes to defining the role, who should define it? I think it should be kind of a joint effort. I think that coaches should basically be very clear in explaining how that they think that each player can add value to the team. And I think if the coaches can get across to the player that value is, one, super valuable, because every player wants to have value and wants to be able to contribute to the team's success. And then two, also show them that if they play that role and if they master that role and excel at that role, that it'll benefit them as well. I think that a lot of people don't realize, like for me in AAU back in the day, in high school basketball, I was a scorer. I was an all-state player. I was relied on to get a bucket. I was an isolation player. I was the do-it-all type of, high school player. But when it came to AAU, my AAU coaches were very transparent with me that said, hey, if you want to play college basketball at a high level and if you want scholarships, you're going to have to be a pass-first point guard. You can still make shots when you're open, but we need you to get our star players, our high major players, the ball in the right situations. And if you do that, then ultimately, one, the team will benefit. We'll win more games. We'll go to more Final Fours. And if you're in the Final Four, more coaches will be there and they'll see you shining in that role and you'll ultimately get more scholarships. So I think that that's the third thing, is basically that transparency and communication must be there and the players must feel valued. Because if they just say, hey, you're a role player, they don't feel very much value and they're never going to buy into that role and they're never going to accept that role and ultimately they'll never excel at that role.
So for you, and I love that story about how I think it's really fascinating that you had two very different roles on your high school team and your AAU team. So I guess to clear all ambiguity, both your high school coach and your AAU coach literally sat you down and told you what you just told our listeners. This is what your role will be on our team. This is what we need from you. They just happen to be two different roles. Now, do you know, was your role also shared openly with the rest of the team? And were you very aware of what everybody else's roles were on your team as well?
Yes. I mean, that's the thing that I think any good team obviously has, that openness in the locker room. And, you know, one of the best exercises that I've ever taken away was my high school coach had us write down, everybody on the in the locker room had to write down how many shots a game they thought they should shoot. And it was amazing how when everybody wrote down their number and turned it in, they added it up. Say our team shot a total of 60 shots a game, and which is high for a high school basketball. But say we shot 60 shots a game. The total team added up to like 95, 100 shots. And so what he said is, hey, listen, we got to realize that not everybody's going to get the amount of shots that they think they're going to shoot because we just physically don't have that many possessions. And so that was the start of everything, was obviously him showing us that we all thought that our role should be a little bit more than it probably was. And then the second thing was he kind of pieced together and showed us his whole plan. You know, my high school coach, Jay Blossom, and I are best friends because – we talked so much. You know, I was his best player. He was my one of, you know, my role models. And so we talked all the time about not only what my role was, but what everybody's role was. And he had that conversation with the whole team. Because ultimately, it matters that everybody feels valued. And it also matters that everybody kind of pieces together. It's kind of like trying to fit a puzzle together and there's five or six kind of strangling pieces that you can't find. Well, obviously, you're never going to finish the puzzle. And if you guys want to be the best team possible, you're going to have every puzzle piece working together, ultimately piecing together so that you can have one complete unit.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, especially with all the different teams that I've been associated with, as well as everything that I've heard from you, one of the biggest challenges a coach has is making every one of those puzzle pieces feel important, is making every one of those puzzle pieces feel like they're contributing and that their piece, even though it might be much smaller than somebody else's, is still really important to the team's success. What do you suggest for a player who might not like their role or might not agree with the role that their coach has communicated to them?
Well, first thing, I think the worst thing they can do is just complain. I think that that's where most people go to. I think most people immediately think, I'm going to complain about my role. I'm going to try to transfer. I'm going to try to make excuses. I think those are the worst things you can possibly do. I think the best thing you can do is, one, kind of buy into your immediate role and excel at that role so much that your coach wants to put kind of a bigger role on your plate. And then the second thing is, I've coined this phrase that you need to excel at the role that you have while working towards the role that you want. And I think that's very important because ultimately, if you're not great in what your coach is asking you to do now, you're never going to be great in the things that you might want to do later. And so I think it's important that you buy into kind of the overall team plan first. And, you know, on your off time, you have extra hours. Obviously, practice maybe is 2 to 3 hours a day. You have extra time, you know, after you finish your homework and everything else that kind of is on your schedule to go in the gym and work towards that role that you want eventually down the line. And once you're good enough to perform those things, no coach is going to hold you back. I think that's the thing that players don't understand enough, is that coaches want to win just as bad as you do. And so if you can ultimately help the team win more by doing a bigger role, the coach will let you do that. But you have to first prove that you're willing to buy into the team's philosophy, and then you have to prove that you can do those things that you think you're capable of. And once you prove over and over in practice that you can do those things, coach will give you the green light to do them in the game.
Absolutely love that. If you're a player listening right now, you might want to hit stop and rewind to what Drew just said. Let's use this as an example. Your coach has told you that your role is not to be a three-point shooter on the team, but you feel that you're a great three-point shooter. Excel in your current role, do everything that your coach asks you to do, and then spend and invest your own individual time before and after practice and in your own workouts, becoming a better three-point shooter so that you can prove to your coach that you are ready for that expanded role. I think that's absolutely brilliant. Now with that, Drew, so how can a player kind of practice with purpose? How can they kind of take a plan? So they've got a current role, but they want to expand that role. You know, what are some steps or some tips you'd give them to do that specifically?
You know, I think the first thing is just basically write down all the things that your team needs you to be able to do well in games, and then list those in priority of what you do most. So if you're a guy that, you know, is a slasher, is a driving kick guy, is a guy that defends, is a guy, write all those things down and then rank them. Okay, I do this the most. I do this the second most. I do this the third most. And then just attack those in order. Obviously, your priority means you do it the most and it's the most valuable. And that's how where you add the most value to your team. So you have to really excel in that, whatever number one is on your list. And so really spend a lot of time on that. Once you've mastered that, go on to number two. Just like your brick by brick philosophy that you like to preach, you know, for me, it's skill by skill. And I think that it needs to be one skill at a time, one role at a time. Master it. Once you master it, boom, move on. And then you'll keep growing and expanding your game. You'll keep growing and expanding your role. And eventually you'll keep helping your team improve, which will lead to better team success and more wins, which is what we're all after.
Awesome. Last thing, I'd like to hear a little bit more about your own personal journey. So, I mean, you were one of the best scorers in the history of Missouri high school basketball, but you knew that going to Belmont that you were not going to be their number one scoring option, that your role was going to change from what you were asked to do in high school to what you were asked to do in college. So how was that transition for you, and what did that summer look like after your senior year of high school getting ready to play college basketball?
You know, I really had three completely different roles. For me, when I was in high school, like I told you, I was a do-it-all, you know, ISO player. I used a lot of high ball screens. I was the facilitator and the creator. I almost, you know, assisted or scored every basket that my team was involved in. That was my role, and that helped us win a state championship. For my AAU team, I played on a team where every single player on our team went Division I. We were consistently a top five Nike program. You know, we played in Peach Jam. We did all those big events and did very well in them. And so for me there, I never was asked to score double-digit points. Now, while I did a few times, I was asked to get 6-7 assists, to lead the team, to huddle the team at free throws, to make sure everybody got the ball in their proper places. That was my job, and that was my role. But for me, again, it was I always looked at bigger picture. I wanted to win. Number one, I'm a competitor first. Number two is I knew that AAU was about getting exposure, and I think that too many people get exposed by trying to chase this unrealistic dream of everybody being a go-to guy. And I knew that in college, I wasn't going to be that go-to guy. I wasn't going to be a guy that came in as a freshman and averaged 20 points a game. I was going to be a guy that if I wanted to get minutes my freshman year, I was going to have to earn them by being a steady point guard that took care of the ball, that was able to guard the other team's point guard, and then ultimately get my team into sets and offensive flow and make sure that there was continuity there. And so I bought into that role as an AAU player. And then when I got to Belmont, we ran a completely different offense, a very motion-based offense. And so a lot of the stuff that I had done was very limited. You know, I was more of a isolation player and a ball screen player when I was in high school and in AAU. And I had to immediately change to a motion offense, which means I had to change my workouts completely up. So instead of coming off ball screens and working on all the different reads that I had been practicing throughout my entire life, I had to work on, you know, pin downs and down screens and back screens and moving without the ball and getting my shot off quicker so that I could ultimately succeed at that next level. For me, it was all about winning, and whatever I had to do to give my team a better chance at winning, I was willing to do that and willing to work on it hard.
Man, that is awesome. And I think that's just tremendous advice, especially for any player listening. So I guess to kind of summarize, players, you need to accept and you need to embrace your role. Hopefully coaches are being open enough to, you know, have some of your input on what that role should be. But you need to make a commitment to be a star in your role. And I'll take Drew's quote, and you know that I'm going to tweet it because I steal Drew's stuff all the time. But excel in the role that you have while you're working for the role that you want. And players, I think if you're willing to do that, and coaches, you take the lead on making sure that communication is very open, very intentional, and very purposeful with each one of your players and with everyone in the locker room, then I think you guys will be able to put this puzzle together the way that Drew put it. Well, that's it for me and Mr. Hanlon. Thanks for listening. I hope we helped you raise your game. Please follow at Pure Sweat on Twitter and Instagram for tons of killer training content. All right, let's get back in the gym.